Today is the 23rd of April, 2016, and we are at the home of Paul Griffiths in Bundeena, New South Wales. We are talking this morning to Paul about his shack in Bonnyvale in the Royal National Park near Sydney. I am Edie Swift, and the interview will go to the State Library of New South Wales and the Local Studies Library of the Wollongong Public Library. Paul, would you like to just give me your grandparents' names and your names, just to put you in history?
Yes, good morning, Edie. My grandparents was John and Anne, and my mother and father was John and Ruby. I'm one of four surviving children. There was two that died, two young daughters. I'm one of four that have survived. My age now is 67 years of age, and I've lived here in Bundeena for 36 years this year.
Would you like to go on about the earliest memories of your shack, and even before you got there?
Okay, just a little of the history of the shack. Goes back to maybe around the 1950s somewhere, late 50s I would guess. My auntie, which was Rita Rao, was my mother's sister, she bought the shack from somebody else. That person's name I have no idea. But she bought the shack, I would think, in the late 50s. And she had five children that used to go down there quite regularly. And then I think towards the early 60s, my mother, who used to go down there occasionally as well, took the shack over because my auntie said she didn't want to go there anymore. Her health was failing. So my mum, I think in the early 60s, took over the shack, like almost a gentleman's agreement. It was a shake hands and one went and the other took on. So my mother took the shack and has kept it until the time that she died, maybe 10 years ago. And then 8 years ago, I put a request to National Park to have the shack in my name, which it is today, but still under my auntie Rita Rao's original name, so it's care of myself, Paul. My early recollections of the cabin would go back to the age of possibly 14, which would put us into the early 60s, maybe 62, 63. And I can remember coming down here as a young fellow. One of the very earliest recollections of coming to Bundeena was I remember coming down in a car with some mates when I was still in high school. We came for a drive, and I can remember driving down the hill into Bundeena, which we call Morgan's Hill. And coming down that hill, I can remember thinking, gee, I'd love to live at this place. It was magnificent. I loved the drive through the park. And I can always remember that quite vividly, that memory of driving down the hill and thinking what a lovely place to be and live. So my recollections of the cabin would be coming down at the age of maybe 14 or 15. And the cabin was a lot different to what it looks like now. It was quite an old, run-down sort of place with a door in the very centre, and it was sort of just one large room with joined in the middle with sort of a dividing wall, which made two bedrooms and then a large sort of kitchen, dining, lounge area. In the far left corner used to be a kitchen, and in the far right-hand corner of the lounge room, let's say, used to be an open wood fire, not a wood fire, but the stove. I can't think what you call those stoves. Just an old stove that they used to put the wood chip heater or something we called it. We'd put the stove in there and my mother would cook and carry on. It was always like an oven in the place because it was always running. But my recollections from there would be coming down quite regularly to the cabin, and my mother and sister, when their husbands finally died, they were regulars. They came down almost every weekend. They both lived at Campsie in the same street, and they would come down with their hair in rollers and their shopping trolley, and they'd get on the train and get out to Cronulla, and they would then have somebody pick them up on this side of the wharf and take them down to the cabin, or they'd walk down pulling their little trolleys loaded to the hilt with goods and supplies that would last them for the week or weekend or whenever they're there. So I've been coming to that place since about 14 years of age, and it has good memories for me, because one of the things was, when my wife and I married in 1972, we went to New Zealand for our honeymoon, but we married on the Saturday night, and we spent the first two nights of our married life in the cabin in Bonnievale. So it's always got vivid memories for me. And of course, then as our kids were growing up, they've always been there. My brother's kids, our kids, the place. At some stage I can actually remember when there was probably 20 people slept in that cabin one night. They were everywhere. We had sleeping bags and bunks and things all over the place. People everywhere, but everybody loved it. And even today, not that Marilyn and I use the place much at all, or our kids, because we're too close. Everybody lives in Bundina. But my wife's brother and his four kids are regulars down there, as well as our best man's daughter comes down every Boxing Day till about the 16th of January. So she's been doing that for at least 10 years, and it's just a regular. She'll always ring up and say, "Uncle Paul, is the cabin mine again?" "Yeah, it's cool." So Leanne comes down on the 26th every year, like clockwork. She's a school teacher. She brings a couple of her school teacher mates, and with a couple of kids, and the place is always in a shambles with kids everywhere and boats and paddles and things and everywhere. The cabin has really been a part of my life, and all our kids as well. It's just been a wonderful thing, and we love it and hope we've got it forever.
Now, when you were 14, how was the community different than what it is now, and were there stores around?
Yes, I can remember. Well, the situation with the cabins was, when we first started coming down here, there was rows and rows of cabins. There was like a row along the waterfront. There was a row of cabins behind them, and then you had the road. Then across the other side of the road was also a row of cabins with cabins behind them, with a little creek in front of those. So at some stage, I guess there was probably in the order of maybe 200 cabins along there. And yes, there used to be the store, and I can't think what it was called, maybe just called the Park Store. But that used to be, which is now the Ranger's House, that used to be a little store where we'd go there, and there was a little wharf many, many years ago, and people used to access Bundina via that wharf originally and come into that store, which was, I'm not sure, it may have been called Thompson's Store. It may be incorrect, but I got a feeling it was called Thompson's Store in the early 50s and 40s and whatever. But yes, the community down there was very vibrant. There was people everywhere, and each weekend it would be full of people. There was actually a lot of people that lived down there permanently. But of course, we were only sort of weekenders, apart from my mum that for probably at least 20 years or more was a regular every weekend there. So yes, it has changed a lot, but a lot in change, but still not a lot, because you had the same people there now, which we used to have plenty of little canoes and boats and things running around years ago. Now Bonnievale is full of jet skis and everybody. It's just I think in a way it's been ruined by the allowance of letting jet skis and things come into the place.
And the actual Bundina town, when you were 14, did that have anything much in it?
Bundina had a few shops. There was also a shop along Hawdon's Beach. That little shop, I can remember going in there to buy things. It was right on the beach, called the Beach Store. But when you went up to the main street of Bundina, there was probably six to seven little shops. There was a butcher, a baker. There was always a real estate agent and a few other little stores, but all quite a unique little place. And today we've now got a whole lot of different shops in there, and now a major development in the town as well. But yes, I can certainly remember many of the shops there, and especially the little beach store which we used to frequent all the time.
And do you remember any of the names of the people between when you were 14 and now that you remember?
No, I don't particularly.
There was a Sandy that you...
Yeah, if we go back to where our cabin was, the cabins, we were surrounded, there was cabins everywhere around us. We had a couple that, and I can't think of their names, they died many years ago, but they had a cabin right next to us, and they used to come out, they lived at, I think it was at Mascot, they come out each weekend as well. And right across from us used to be an old fellow that had been there for years and lived there permanently. His name was Sandy. I have no idea what his last name was, but I can remember Sandy on the first night after we were married. We woke up in the morning and he was Sandy waiting to talk to us at the front door. And Sandy used to always have a kookaburra come down, and he'd feed the kookaburra on his little fence outside his cabin. Cabins were each side of us and a few different rows down there in our end of the park. Friends, I think the lady's name was Belle, had a cabin over towards the road, and there was a massive big gum tree right next to her cabin. Now, this I'm going back at least 30 years ago. One day we heard this massive crack and this big gum tree came down and completely knocked the house to the ground. Lucky there was no one in the house, but completely smashed it to pieces.
So do you remember going to the swimming hole and swimming and doing different activities as you were there for different years?
Yes, I certainly do. The swimming hole, I think you referred to, was called the Basin. So, yes, there used to be a little old rickety wooden bridge across the basin. It's now been replaced some years ago with a pretty fancy steel bridge. But I can remember going up the basin. We used to go up the basin and pull our little boat into the basin to try and catch whiting. There was just heaps of whiting in the back of the basin. But one of the things I always remember was the oysters. The oysters used to be on the mangroves, and we'd go up there and we'd get a bucket full of oysters and come back and spend a couple of hours emptying the oysters out. And in later years, we found out that my mum was going up there cleaning all the oysters out and taken back to the priest at Bundina, at Campsie, where she lived. And we said, "Mum, don't be stupid. Stop doing that. We don't want you doing that anymore." But she used to feed up the priest at Campsie with the oysters.
So would you have boats there and things at your cabin for years? Yes,
we had a small canoe, but I used to have a boat. I lived with my mum for 8 years when we first got married at Campsie. And I was doing refrigeration service, so I had a service van at that time. And I used to pull a little rowboat down, and we'd put the rowboat down as soon as we arrived. And yes, we'd get it up into the basin and get it out in Bonnyvale. We went everywhere in the little rowboat, just exploring, I think, with the kids. Right to the very end of the basin, there was a lovely big rock that you could climb up and dive into the water from this big rock. But we'd access it by our boat.
And did you fish as you went through the years?
I was never much of a fisherman. I always attempted to fish, but I was never much good at it.
And did you? When did you move to Bundina here?
We bought this block of land where we're sitting at the moment in 1976. We then saved a few extra bucks, and we actually built the house and moved into this home in November 1980. So we've been here 36 years this year.
Had you retired by then?
No, I had not. No, I only retired last September. So I'm only new to this 6 months ago.
So you had to drive into
Yes, and I was doing refrigeration service. I was service mechanic, a refrigeration mechanic at that time. So I was driving from Bundina. Sometimes I'd be first job in the morning might be Blacktown. I've even driven from from Bundina to Grafton to do a service call one day, drive to Grafton, drive back home all in the one day, which I'd recently been to Queensland, and I thought, my God, how'd I ever do that? It took me 2 or 3 days to get to Queensland. This time I used to do it in no time before.
Now, what did you do for water in your cabin, like in the early days?
The early days we had a tank there. The tank, at least 30 years ago, had holes in it, so we replaced the tank. We built a little retaining wall, and somebody gave Mum a new little smaller tank, so we put the smaller tank in, and that tank is still there today. It's still fed off the roof, although I was in Bonnyvale the other day and I noticed we've got vegetation coming out of the guttering on the roof, so the tank would be filled up with rubbish at the moment, but it is still there today.
And how has the cabin changed in appearance since you were 14?
Yeah, the cabin has changed quite dramatically in that time. I can remember the cabin, as I said before, had a door in the very front of it. You walked straight into a fairly large kitchen, dining room, if you want to call it, lounge room, and then... We were saying you'd walk into a lounge room and then a couple of bedrooms you had in front of you. But some years ago, at least 25 years ago, my mum was down there and one of the boys slammed the front door and we noticed the cabin was all shaky. And I said to Mum, hang on, this joint's going to fall over here. So we looked around and when we investigated, it was full of white ants. So my brother, being a builder, I rang him up and I said, Wayne, how about you come down with your partner and we'll have a working bee and we'll do some work in the cabin? So he came down, he measured it all up, and we had a 3-day long weekend. We came down and we knocked every wall down. We put acro props up. We measured the walls. We knocked the wall down, made a new wall, stood it up. So we finished up making the 4 new walls and then we pulled the floor up, put a new floor down, so that the only thing original in that cabin is the roof, and you can still see today the places where the white ants had come up through the ground and up into the ceiling. We then put a tin roof on the cabin just to finish it off because it used to have a black sort of like a maltoid or something on the top of the roof. So we put a tin roof on there just to make that a bit safer. But the cabin, then we turned the door and we put the door so it was a side entry next to the kitchen and the tank. So the cabin, with photos we've got of those days and to now, it doesn't look much the same at all. We put we replaced the windows at the same time we did this renovation. A friend of mine lived 2 houses up from me, was throwing all these windows out. And we said, God, they'd be good for Bundina. So we confiscated all these big windows and took them to Bonnyvale and put them in at the time. So those windows all got a second lease on life. They're still there today, probably at least 20 years from the time we did that renovation.
Are you allowed to alter the cabin now?
I'm not too sure at the moment. I think you can... If the cabin is in need of repair for, let's say, safety reasons, yes, you can do some repairs, but you can't modify the, let's say, the footprint on the ground in any way. I think you can do just structural things that to keep the cabin from falling over, but that's about the extent of it.
So do you know why all those cabins disappeared or over the years or what happened to them?
Well, the story, as I would understand it, is once you cease payment of your rent on that piece of land you're sitting on, or you lose interest, the cabin may lay vacant for 3 months, and then I think National Parks approach you and say, do you want the cabin anymore? If you don't, they will then immediately pull it down. And that has been the case we've seen many, many times. sometimes mysteriously a cabin that's been vacant for a while suddenly catches fire. We don't know if that's vandals or foul play, have no idea, but that's happened on many of those cabins. It's been vacant for a little while and suddenly it destroyed and burnt to the ground. So once that happens, of course, national parks then come and take over that piece of land and slowly resume it. So from days of when there used to be at least 200 cabins down there, maybe, we're now to probably six cabins usable down there at the moment, I think.
Do you think what made a difference through the years was that a lot of the women work now, and so that they couldn't come down as much during the school holidays?
That is probably a big factor. Yeah, a lot of the women, in my case, my wife and I worked for many years until the time we both basically retired the end of last year. Yes, we were restricted the times we could come and send our kids down there, but I would think that would be a lot of the problem because we know families have got to keep two people working to keep head above the waterline. So, yes, I think that would restrict a lot of people in getting down there more frequently.
Would you like to contribute anything else now, or do we want to say anything more before we conclude?
The only thing I think I'd probably say is a few years ago, I was actually president of the Progress Association of Bundina, and we were looking for some place to have a little historical sort of setup. So at one stage, we actually thought about picking up our cabin, because after Mum had sort of passed on, the family said, look, we don't need the cabin anymore, we'll get rid of it. So I said, well, we really should keep it for the, you know, for perpetuity for the kids. You know, your kids are growing up and ours, and their kids will come along eventually if we can still keep the cabin. So I decided to take the cabin on my own. But a few years back, I thought, well, I was starting to get the same opinion that our kids didn't want to use it anymore. So I said to the Progress Association, look, I'm quite happy to donate the cabin. And we looked into getting a crane to pick it up or to dismantle it. Anyway, all those plans eventually failed and the cabin stays where it is today. And we're very glad of it because it's been a part of our family history and we hope it'll be part of the family history forevermore.
Would you donate this, Paul, to the State Library of New South Wales and also the local studies library in Wollongong?
This interview we're having? Most certainly.
Oh, thank you.